What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Co-host Wes Goldberg going to be joining me in just a minute. The Dubs get the massive second win on a back-to-back winning streak. Yes, first winning streak of the year for the Dubs. All joking aside, a nice performance after their last nice performance. They get the win against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Alec Burks, Draymond Green, D'Angelo Russell, a lot of nice performances. We're going to cover all of them. And we're also going to talk about how Draymond felt about after this back-to-back winning streak, as well as we might be seeing a familiar face around the team a lot more in the coming weeks. And I'm pretty excited about it. You guys should be too. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Wes Goldberg going to be joining me in just a minute. He was at tonight's epic win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, I'm very sarcastic, but it was a nice win. It was a nice game for these young players, these young guys. Draymond Green was ecstatic about it, and he should be. The team played hard. They fought hard, and they were able to put together their first winning streak so far. You know, I always think of a winning streak as three, personally. But this season, I'll cut it down to two. So their first winning streak of the year. Like I said, Draymond was happy. A lot of the young guys were happy. We got great performances from Alec Burks. I think his best game of the year. D'Angelo Russell played well. Draymond Green played like the Draymond Green we're used to seeing. Willie Cauley-Stein, Damian Lee. They all just looked really good and all contributed to this win. That was one of the nice parts, is it was a team win. And then we also heard earlier that a certain two-time MVP, three-time NBA champ might be showing his face around the team a little more in the coming weeks, which I am all about. And we're going to be talking about all that in just a minute. But first, the original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockedonNBA at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers at Locked On Sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. That is lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Wes, as always, you were at tonight's game, the historic back-to-back winning streak of the 2019-20 Warriors. All jokes aside, it was a nice win. The Timberwolves were able to make a comeback towards the end, but Warriors were able to pull it out. And one of the big reasons why they were able to pull it out was Alec Burks, who I think had his best game of the season, was very efficient, but also best game of anyone on the floor tonight. We had talked about how some of his numbers could be misleading, that they didn't always lead to winning basketball. Tonight was the exact opposite. He was a major reason as to why they were able to pull off this win tonight.
And he was the guy that got it done late. I mean, the Warriors opened up a 20-plus point lead at one point in the game. Timberwolves kind of clawed their way back into it, made it at one point a 6-point game late in the fourth quarter. And what does Alec Burks do? Back-to-back baskets, an assist to a Willie Cauley-Stein alley-oop, and then nailed a 3-pointer a couple possessions later. I mean, he was the guy that stepped up. He had the timely baskets when they needed it. And you mentioned the back-to-back wins. I mean, this is not only are these the first consecutive wins the Warriors have had all year. It's been 7 months since the Warriors last won back-to-back games. It's been 7 months, a torn ACL, Kevin Durant leaving for Brooklyn, and a broken hand. All of that has transpired since the last time the Warriors won two games in a row. They needed this. They needed this bad.
Man, you ain't lying. And we'll talk about Draymond, who actually talked about how much it meant to get these back-to-back wins. We'll do that in just a minute. But you were talking about Alec Burks. He was incredibly efficient, 8 of 13, 3 of 6 from 3 for 25 points, 8 assists, 2 rebounds. And, yes, best game he's had so far. He's been a nice piece for them this year. But another reason why it's kind of pertinent to today is because we saw our first trade of this NBA season. where Jordan Clarkson goes to Utah in exchange for Dante Exum and I think a couple of second rounders, where you're starting to see the trade season happen. And I think the fact that it was Utah, you know, excluded them from going back to trying to get Alec Burks. But in my opinion, if you could get Alec Burks on a minimum deal or Jordan Clarkson getting $13 million, I'd rather have Alec Burks. So we might see stuff start to, I don't know, we might start hearing some rumors pretty soon, I guess.
And you saw the price, right? I mean, both Clarkson and Exum are on not great contracts, right? Because Exum also signed an extension and has basically been injured as he has his entire career, unfortunately. But the price for getting the better player, Jordan Clarkson, was 2 second-round picks. So I do wonder if the Warriors would be able to maybe even get more than 1 second-round pick, because that was always my kind of price tag that I was thinking. If the Warriors were to begin shopping Alec Burks and eventually land on a deal, I always thought 1 second-round pick. It's possible they could get 2. We're not to get anybody's hopes up, but you know, that possibility does exist there. But you know, moreover, he's a really good scoring piece coming off the bench. And I don't want one game to sway anybody's opinion. I don't think it does sway the front office's opinion, but they're generally in a wait and see approach with this roster. And if you're looking at what Alec Burks was able to do tonight, I do wonder if that's a piece that they would maybe value going forward next season. I mean, we're looking – you're going to have to add probably at least another veteran next year, especially if you get rid of Burks. You'd have to re-sign Burks, of course, this summer if you wanted to keep him. And he may just play his way out of a price range. But if he's also putting up career-best numbers and he's happy in Golden State, maybe he takes a hometown discount. I'm not saying all this is going to happen. I'm not trying to overreact to one game, but it's got to be something that this front office is thinking about, right? They have to weigh all of their options.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to weigh all your options. You have to do your due diligence. And at the same time, you know, some people might roll their eyes at the hometown discount, but we also don't know what players value. Some players may want to go get every single dime they can. Some may enjoy the fact that they're in a comfortable spot, you know, for the first time in their career. Like, I think that might factor in more for Glenn Robinson than, say, an Alec Burks. But again, I have no idea what either of them value more than the, you know, the.
I don't want to pretend to know what Alec Burks is thinking or what his values are, but I do know a couple things. Every time that we've been to Utah with him, it's you know, the local beat reporters in Salt Lake City will bring it up, and he talks so favorably about Salt Lake City, about the 8 years he spent there. Like, he really appreciated the relationships that he could build, and he always goes back to that. So I do think that matters. I know it matters to him because he says it matters to him. He didn't like getting traded 3 times, you know, or whatever it was in the last year. You know, I think he does want to settle back down. I mean, his kids are with him most of these games. I think he doesn't want to move them around. I think he wants to, you know, he's 28 years old. I don't think he wants to necessarily be, you know, going playing for, you know, 9 different NBA teams. I think he does want to settle. And if it means, I don't think he'll sacrifice a ton of money to do so, but, you know, if it means that he can stay in Bay Area where he knows he can compete for rings and live in a great place and settle down, maybe he does. And maybe, you know, if you're the Warriors, you know that, and you say, you know what, we're not going to give you annually what you're getting offered elsewhere, but what we'll do is give you, you know, more years than what you're getting offered elsewhere. And that could hold a lot of weight.
Player options, et cetera. Yeah, there's ways to try and to sway them. Yeah. But regardless, great game tonight from him. I think his best game of the season. And they still have him for now. And, you know, we'll just have to keep on watching him play, and hopefully he can continue the efficient scoring, because he's put up 20 plus points before, but never this efficient. One other player I want to talk about, hell, if we could talk to him, that'd be cool. But seeing him start to fit in better, and especially seeing the chemistry between him and D'Angelo Russell really starting to show, was Willie Cauley-Stein. Had himself a hell of a game. Before Alec Burks went off late, I was thinking we would lead with Willie Cauley-Stein, because I thought for about the first 3 quarters, he was probably maybe the best player out there, the way he was going. And you're just starting to see, in my opinion, what I've kind of mentioned before, just the fact that him and D'Angelo Russell, obviously a pick and roll tandem, but we're starting to see some of the things, some of the skills as to why I think, even though it's been a down year, I think he would fit so well with a healthy Warriors team.
I agree with you. And Steve Kerr, after the game, went out of his way to mention Willie Cauley-Stein. Not only did he have a great game tonight, but he's he's been stringing together a couple of really nice games mm-hmm. here. He had three blocks tonight. He's on pace to – Willie Cauley Stein is not a shot – or had not been a shot blocker for
at
his career. He's on pace – not at all. He's on pace, I think, to double, like, his season blocks, like, yeah. totals, like, of his career best year in Sacramento. He's become a real rim protector for this team. And I know a lot of people kind of hate on Willie Cauley Stein a little bit, but we remember how bad the defense was before Willie got back. We remember how – like in the preseason, how open the paint was for basically everybody. And I'm not saying that Willie Cauley Stein has been he's not been Joel Embiid or Rudy Gobert on the defensive end, but he's been a whole lot better than the other centers that the Warriors have had. He's been a stabilizer in the paint. I mean, you look at what has happened with Kevon Looney, given that Marquese Chris wasn't even on a guaranteed deal for most of the preseason. Omari Spellman is being shifted to the four. I don't know what this team would do without Willie Cauley Stein. Again, I don't mean to overstate things, but he's started every game he's been healthy, and he's been a real benefit for that defense, especially the rim protection. I think he's going to be a great fit going forward if he's still around. I don't suspect that the Warriors are that motivated to move him. Again, you just want somebody with that sort of size on your roster. At all times. I mean, can't teach height, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Closest thing they have to a legit old-fashioned center, just being 7 feet tall, yeah. You know, 7'4" wingspan, all that stuff. Which brings me to, you brought up Kevon Looney, who got some minutes tonight. And, man, I do not like seeing him play the four. I don't like him and Marquese Chris on the floor together at the same time. You know, maybe they're just trying to see how long they can get away with it for future reference. But I do not enjoy it. If you ever play two centers at the same time, it usually gives you the benefit of 2 7-footers on the floor. But with Kevon Looney and Marquese Chris, you're still undersized. So I don't know. Has Steve Kerr talked about it at all? I mean, why they're trying him at the four right now?
He doesn't, but he wouldn't say this, but I suspect what it is less wear and tear if you're playing him at the four. If you're just mm-hmm. asking him to stand in the corner and shoot threes, it gives him a chance to get his win, to get into some conditioning, run up and down the floor a little bit. He only played 9 minutes, like you said. He didn't look terrible. He checked in, immediately got an offensive rebound for a putback. Yeah, he had a nice shot. He had a nice little dribble drive into a turnaround jumper in the lane. It was one of his better minutes. But I would suspect that you're playing – they want to experiment with Kevon Looney at the four anyway. They went into that season. They went into the season with that sort of intention. I don't think it's working, but I think the flip side of that is play him at the four. He's not banging bodies with other centers. We're not risking any hamstring or more wear and tear on this guy who we view as a long-term piece. That would be my guess as to why they are so committed to playing him at the four when it's clearly not his position.
Yeah, and one of the things that I also don't like about it is it seems to be cutting into Omari Spellman's minutes, who, what did he – he had 4 minutes tonight. Again, wasn't great. He was 1 of 4, but – he was a bright spot earlier in the year, and now that people are getting healthy like Looney and Willie Cauley Stein, we're seeing less and less of Spellman, which, I don't know, I liked watching him. I thought he was developing well and a bright spot for the future. He's definitely going to be on the team moving forward, but it's just tough to see him get, 4 minutes in a game.
Yeah, that's the way it's going to be, though, kind of. As long as the center position is stacked the way it is, I mean, mm-hmm. Smiley Geach was activated tonight. He didn't even play. He wasn't supposed to play, but you kind of just take all these centers that they have, eventually Kevon Looney gets healthy. I mean, they are going to be deep at that position, and whether or not you view Omari Spellman as a 4 or 5 right now, he's a 4, not a 5. Earlier in the season, he was definitely a 5. But they're interchangeable, and so they're going to have to figure out, what kind of rotation that they want to have with this. But one of those things, what the result could be is nights like where Omari Spellman's playing 4 minutes and other nights where he's playing 24 minutes, right?
Yeah.
I think, when you're talking about non-all-star players, non-elite players, they have off nights, they have on nights where inconsistency is just built in. And I think, if you have a stable of centers that you can kind of go to and just find the hot hand, so to speak, that's what you do.
Yeah. There were a couple other performances tonight that I do want to get to. Some good. There were a couple negative ones as well. We're going to do that in just a minute. So, Wes, tonight we saw the return of Eric Paschal, who, even though I'm leaning towards what Draymond was saying, like I think maybe a week off the court might be best for him. He came in, he played well. He was 3 of 6 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3, which is a great thing to see because that's probably the biggest – area of improvement you'd like to see, at least offensively, is that three ball. So going 2 for 2 was solid. And he's just, he just, after seeming out of sync, it seemed to kind of click a little more for him tonight.
Yeah, he came into the game 1 for 9, I believe, on three-pointers in his last 5 games. So having those first 2 and only 2 three-pointers he took go in were really helpful for him. And it helps, you know, when he's shooting like that, it helps space the floor a little bit, makes him a little bit more effective when he's, you know, dribbling and getting into the paint, driving to the rim and doing those things. He looks a lot better tonight than he has. And he'll work his way back into it. I mean, it's been a point of conversation with Steve Kerr and all these guys. Is, you know, they do feel like he's been wearing down a little bit the last couple of weeks. That's to be expected. He's a rookie. He's never played basketball at this volume before, at this frequency before. But he'll, you know, when you hit that rookie wall, eventually you just sort of push through it. And, you know, that's going to happen. I mean, physically, the dude is an NBA player already. I don't think there's got to be some physical fatigue. I think the hip thing lingered a little bit longer than they wanted. They were relieved that the knee injury wasn't serious. But there's also got to be a mental fatigue part to it as well. And then, you know, you add the fact that he was the isolation scorer, lead ball handler sometimes for a team with 8 or 9 players. And now the team has 13 healthy players. So you got to spread the love a little bit. You got to spread the wealth a little bit. And that's probably dipped into some of his production as well. I mean, he's basically shooting the same percentage from like November to December. He's just getting fewer shots. And I think some of that is, again, spreading the wealth, but some of it, again, is just natural fatigue.
Both two-way players played tonight. Damian Lee got the start, and he's been solid. Had himself another solid game, going 4-9 from the field, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Kai Bowman got 23 minutes, not his best minutes, 1 of 6 from the field, but, you know, active defensively. And we've talked about how this year is about development and trying to find players for the future and develop them for next year that they could potentially be in the rotation. But one of the other things that we didn't talk about directly is it's also trying to find out who isn't part of that, who isn't going to be part of the rotation, who isn't going to develop. And we saw Jacob Evans go 0 of 6 from the field in 10 minutes. Jordan Poole, again, continues to struggle 0 of 2 in 7 minutes. And I don't want to write them off immediately, man, but it has been ugly and it continues to be. And like I said, they're evaluating the good players and they're evaluating the bad, and it just continues to be bad for those two.
Yeah, and the tough thing with Jacob Evans and Jordan Poole is that they're on these rookie scale contracts. They're going to be under contract next season. Yeah. Now, it could be a situation where, like, you know, Damian Jones, for example, you flip him for a different player, you know, change of scenery, and maybe something happens. I would expect Jordan Poole is here next season. I don't think a first-round pick, I don't think you just cut bait after a year, especially after 30 games. Mm-hmm. But with Jacob Evans, they're going to have a couple of years with seeing him, and this is not a team averse to cutting bait with guys on rookie scale contracts. I mean, we saw it with Damian Jones, we saw it with Patrick McCall, we've seen it before, right? If they decide that roster spot would be better used elsewhere, then they could flip him. They could move him into cap space with a second round pick. They could do something of that nature. It wouldn't shock me, but and you're exactly right. I mean, there's not enough rotation spots next season to go around, especially when you keep, like, when you remember that they're going to be adding a player with their draft pick, whether it be with the by selecting that player in the draft or trading that pick, whatever. They're going to be adding a player with that pick. They're going to be adding a player with a $17.2 million trade exception. And they're going to have another cap exception at their disposal that they can use to add another veteran player. So we're looking at probably 3 new players being added to this roster, and there's not enough roster spots for those 3 players. But they're going to be motivated to add those 3 players, so they got to figure it out.
Yeah, definitely. It's just been rough for them. I mean, with Jacob Evans, my thing is, like, can you do one thing well? Can you be – and he's okay defensively, but, like, all right, your shot's not – can you be, like, a really good rebounding guard? Can you be a lockdown defender? And we're just seeing just kind of average across the board, which, again, you know, he'll have the rest of the year to try and prove it. But just so far, it hasn't been good. We kind of joked about the fact – well, not joked about, but, you know, it's – they won 2 games for the first time all year, back-to-back games, which is a nice accomplishment. But they were actually feeling it, and Draymond was actually feeling it. What can you tell me about him and his you know, press availability and just how he was kind of, I don't know, jovial after getting these first back-to-back wins?
He's jovial. It's the holiday season. Yes, I mean, sir. He's really excited. I mean, this is a guy who hates losing, and he's had to deal with a whole lot of losing. And he hasn't had the support of those guys that he's been used to having the support of. I mean, Steph and Clay have been on the bench the last couple of games, which has been great for, I think, Draymond is specifically. He doesn't feel like he's the one veteran in the room anymore. He's back with his teammates, right? Like, he doesn't feel like this weird substitute teacher. And I think that's helped his mood. It's definitely lifted his mood. Not that he wasn't being positive before, but you could tell the losing was grating on him. And the dude was just really, really excited. He said he never thought he would be this excited for just winning two games in a row. Right? He said, yeah. He's like, I never thought I'd be this excited just to win two games in a row. And it just shows how much this dude loves winning. Moreover, probably how much this dude hates losing. And it's a sign of real progress. It isn't one of those one-off wins. Now, it's two games in a row. They've played really good basketball. I could argue that they played better tonight than they did against New Orleans. It was probably their best 48-minute stretch of basketball. And I do think that I won't say something's clicked. You don't want to go that far after two games. But it feels like they're starting to nudge into a breakthrough here. Now, I'm not going to say they're going to rattle off 30 wins and make the playoffs, but it does feel like this team knows how to play with each other. Steve Kerr said as much. Like, there seems to be a little bit more continuity, and you know how Draymond Green feeds off of that. So I think that's also helping.
One great response he had when was asked about the, you know, how does this help the team going into the ABC game against Houston on Christmas? And he said, oh, they let us keep that ABC game. Like, we're still going to be on national TV right on, which is funny because, of course, they're getting all their games moved. But, I mean, yeah, it was a nice win, nice back-to-back win. And you mentioned Steph and Clay being there tonight, which kind of helps Draymond. And I'm like, as a viewer, I like seeing them there. I like seeing Steph celebrate the big plays and stuff like that. Steve Kerr actually talked about that the other day. What can you tell us about Steph and just maybe seeing him around a little more in the coming weeks?
It's something that Steve Kerr really values. I just think you have Steph on the bench there and just reminds you, hey, this is the Warriors. Like, hey, things are going to be okay. This dude's coming back at some point. And so I just think that gives the team confidence. It gives them a little bit more credibility, and that really matters. And for Steve Kerr, I mean, he wants to have Steph around the team more. Steph couldn't be because he was mostly in LA with his hand specialist rehabbing. It seems like that part of his recovery process is mostly over. He's still going to take trips to LA every once in a while, but really now it's about, he's got the pins removed from the first procedure. The cast is off. And it's just about regaining strength, and it's just, or I should say, right now it's about maintaining the results of the second procedure, and then eventually gaining strength. But he'll undergo his evaluation in February again, as planned. And right now, the entire process has gone pretty much as scripted, which is really positive. So if everything is going to plan, we could see Steph being around the team not only for all these home games, but he could be traveling with the team to these road games as soon as January. And again, that was the original intent. So he could be traveling for road games, probably not every road trip, but, you know, the big ones, or, you know, the ones he sees fit in January, reevaluate February, really starting the strength gaining in the rehab from February to March. And he could be on the court as soon as March. And again, everything is sort of following that script so far.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's not that time's flying or anything, but he's about a month, just over a month away from his reevaluation, which felt like, I don't know, felt like years away. And I still agree with you. I still think it won't be until March, just to get, knock some of the rust off towards the end of the year and then, you know, prep for next year, 2020. But I like seeing him around. I enjoy it. I think everyone else does too. I think you guys like hearing us, having us around, but because of the holiday, we are going to be gone for most of the week. So probably be back with you Friday with some more Locked On Warriors. But, you know, we'll keep you all posted out there. And everyone have a safe, healthy, happy holidays, whatever it is that you are celebrating. Go celebrate with your family and have fun. Wes, it's been a nice first couple months, man. And I guess we'll talk before New Year's. Damn, I was going to do a whole, you know, off into 2020, but I guess we'll talk before then. So it's been fun, man. But yeah, right. I'll work on it until then. But yeah, we'll talk end of this week and come back for more Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.